you're just tuning in, you are listening to the services of First Baptist Church in Petoskey. And you are listening on WMKT 1270 AM and 102.3 FM. And so we're going to finish our series on heaven today. We've talked a lot about a lot of things, and I do have a book on what to expect after life, and the table in the rear that you can take with you, because I sure hate it when people are worried about what's going to happen next. What happened to Great Aunt Tilda? And where is my grandma, and where am I going to be here in 6 months or a year? And so this is going to be a little bit different today, because I'm going to do an overview of the whole Bible and all of the world's philosophy in half an hour. And so we'll talk more about the world today than we will about the Bible, because we've already spent a lot of time on the Bible, but the Bible, of course, is the final authority, and we will share in that at the end of their time together. Heavenly Father, we pray now that you'll help me to have clarity of thought, that you'll help us to understand the ideas that we're discussing, that you'll help us to understand this world in light of your scripture, that you'll help us to worship, that you'll help us to listen, that you'll help us to understand, that you'll help us to enjoy yourself through your word. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. There are two gospels in this world. The gospel means good news. That's what the word gospel means. And so I'm going to try my best to refer to it as good news, rather than use a biblical term that all might not recognize. There is the world's good news and the Lord's good news. Remember that in the 60s and 70s, President Johnson took us into the Vietnamese War. Slowly, we understood that he had lied about why, that he lied about all of the details of the war, that he lied about the prosecution of the war, that he lied about everything. Remember that it was President Nixon then who took us out of Vietnam quickly. There's so many things you can say about that whole conflict, but the upshot of it was, of course, that when President Nixon was in a re-election campaign, that some of his men, I understand without his knowledge, were caught spying on the other campaign. Well, he was going to win by a landslide anyhow, and he did. It was a meaningless effort. But when he was caught, when they were caught, he lied about it incessantly. And so here you have, in this 10-15 year period, you have this dramatic change, this dramatic shift of all of the foundations of America that we thought we could believe in. We thought we could believe our government. We thought that we could believe our leaders in all the various disciplines of America. There were, of course, a few religious figures that came out about that time that told us that churches had been lying about the Bible and the virgin birth and heaven and everything else. There were some religious figures about that time who were exposed as being crooks and fakes. And so our society then, in the place of government and heroes and pastors and preachers and teachers, in place of the truth, in place of the Constitution, the world offered us good news. The good news is, you can rebel. There's nothing worth being loyal to. You can forget the Bible. You can forget the government. Nuts to morality. What is morality but rules that have been given to us by some authority that's lying to us anyhow? Nuts to loyalty. Nuts to patriotism. There's nothing worth being loyal to. It was about this time, of course, that Jane Fonda went to North Vietnam to take the side of the Viet Cong, trying to make a statement about our government and our boys. Remember, it was about this time that one of our boys, John Kerry, went to the press and said, "We were all involved in murdering babies." And then, in a manner of protest, took all of his war medals that he had granted himself, it's a long story, took his medals that he had granted himself, and threw them over the fence into the Potomac River. Who needs heroism? Who needs loyalty? Who needs patriotism? Our country stinks. We didn't find out for several years that he had thrown someone else's medals into the Potomac, that he kept his own for his later run for the presidency. During that time, people did drugs like never before in America. I remember meeting some guys at their apartment at 7 o'clock in the morning for something, and they were just getting up, and there were these little pills on top of the dresser, and each of them took a little pill. Well, what was that? I don't know. I don't care. But they had to have their little pill, and so people smoked marijuana, and they took cocaine, and they took speed, and they took LSD. I remember hearing about the man who took LSD and thought he was an orange. They had to lock him in a rubber room because he was afraid everyone was going to eat him. There was Timothy Leary, the priest, who went around saying LSD will save us. Read up on it sometime. It's an amazing time period in our history. But the point is that now the hippies that were running around and rebelling against everything and rejecting everything moral, everything good, are now the professors of our colleges and are the politicians in our government. So the world's good news for the last 50 years has been, do what you want. The Beatles put out a lot of albums. One of their albums, they put all of their heroes on the front cover. And on the front cover of that album is about a dozen guys. And one of them is a short, overweight, bald man named Aleister Crowley, the head of the Satanic Church. The motto of the Satanic Church is, do what you want. There is no morality. There is no right and wrong. Forget marriage. Burn your bra. Have abortions. Live with each other, divorce for any reason, or just don't get married and you won't have a divorce. Your kids won't care, your kids won't mind, and it won't hurt them. There's actually been studies trying to prove that divorce does not hurt children. This is a ridiculous thing, but they try to prove it to remove their guilt. Because the church is full of hypocrites, not really. The church is full of struggling people who are trying to do better and failing sometimes. But because the church is full of hypocrites, you can give up on the idea of God. When I went to the local college in 1973, after graduating from Petoskey High School, I heard in every single class that there is no God, that the Bible is hokum. Now, I took biology, but I also took speech in American history. There was no need to get into these things, but every professor was determined to let me understand that there is no God. The good news is that there is no God. The good news is that you don't have to be moral, that you don't need to obey any rules, that you can be a rebel. Last week I was flipping channels, as I do in the evening when I'm tired from a day in the office, and so I saw the last 5 minutes of Furious 7. Many of you have seen that. Many of you have not. This is the 7th movie about illegal street racing by criminals and the undercover cops who love them. The good news of this series is that you can race like a wild idiot on the street and have a blast too. You can break the law. You can outfox the cops. What a lot of fun! Until during the shooting of the last movie, one of the stars went street racing and died, going 85 in a 45, wrapping his car around a utility pole. So what do you do when you're not quite finished with a movie and your star dies? So they got his brothers and they, you know, digitized his face onto theirs, and they shot lots of frames of him at a distance. But the last 5 minutes of this movie were, we remember Paul. Paul was a great guy. And they showed pictures of Paul and clips from the movies, and Paul smiling, a great big smile. And I tell you, it was touching. But what struck me, of course, was that they had no solution, because in the world system, there is no God, there is no heaven, there is no resurrection, there is no answer, there is no solution. They had nothing to give. After 50 years of rebellion and trash-talking God and rejecting a religion and churches betraying their own message, all this movie could say is he is gone and we miss him. But that's okay, because according to our colleges and many of our churches, he wasn't a human, he was an animal. He's just walking protoplasm. A man is a rat, is a dog, is a monkey, is a boy. We are all animals. I didn't make that up. I quoted someone badly, but I quoted them. Because in that system, we are all animals. And we do not have an eternal life. Now, here's the thing. That so many, many, many people would agree that there is no God who will hold us accountable, would agree that there is no heaven, would agree that they're not going to stand before God and be judged for their sin, but no one believes it. No one believes that there is not a God, or that there is not an afterlife. I have said to my kids several times, my grandkids, when they come up in the evening, we might watch a strange movie that I found, and, you know, we've seen some dandies. And I kept reminding and saying to them, you know how many movies there are about life after death? in every age, in every culture, ever since, you know, the black and whites started coming out. I like to watch the old movie channel. And so, let me list you a few here, hey? Life after life. That's not to be confused with life after. Or afterlife. Those are three different movies. Beetlejuice, where a young couple dies and they're harassed by a demon. Ghost, where Patrick Swayze comes back and he can influence people and sometimes get them to see him. Coco, The Sixth Sense, The Lovely Bones, The Corpse Bride, The Book of Life, Flatliners, R.I.P.D., What Dreams May Come, Hereafter, Enter the Void, Wrist Cutters, Birth, Defending Your Life, Waking Life, A Matter of Life and Death, The Ghost and Mrs. Muir. Well, most of these I've never seen, have no clue what they're about. I don't want to. But when I was a boy, I remember seeing The Ghost of Mrs. Muir advertised. So the ghost, of course, is this elderly guy, about 60 years old, and he's urbane and wears a goatee, and he's English or something. And then Mrs. Muir is this sort of attractive lady. I don't remember what age she was, but he kind of pesters her and likes her, and she kind of listens. Who in the world would want to watch that stuff? How can you have a romance between a ghost and a woman? That's just idiotic. It was on television. Topper, Cary Grant, and some actress pester people. Heaven Can Wait, which has nothing to do with the movie Heaven Can Wait. One in 1978, one in 1943. Heaven Can Wait, 1978, was a remake of Here Comes Mr. Jordan. So this athlete dies, and he gets to heaven, and they say, oh, we made a mistake, and so you should still be on earth. You should still have your life to go. Sorry, we'll put you in someone else's body. And he's about to die, so we'll put you in his body. And so he comes back, and he reveals himself to his girlfriend. In every movie, there's a truth moment. He reveals himself to his old girlfriend, and she and she believes, and then he's going to win the Super Bowl. And then they come to him and say, sorry, we've got to do it again. Made absolutely no sense whatsoever, but there were pretty people making the movie. Pirates of the Caribbean, The Dead Man's Chest, A Ghost Story, The Others, Heart and Souls, Heaven, Lovelorn, Time After Time, shot here on Mackinac Island, where a man falls in love with a woman who's been dead for 100 years. It's a Wonderful Afterlife, and Titanic. You ever heard of Titanic, the movie? Have you ever heard of Titanic, the movie? Yes or no? Wave your hand. All of us have heard that. All of us have heard the song on the radio, haven't we? What's Titanic about? Well, it's a love story. Yes, but it's a love story between who and whom. It's a love story with this young girl who's not very pretty and this rebel who gets her to reject her father and reject her fiancé, reject her culture, and reject God and go do stuff with him that she should not be doing. Baby, when they came out with this on cassette, it took two cassettes. It was so long. And so, of course, what happens when the Titanic starts to fall? Well, her father has him chained to a register, and her boyfriend agrees, and all of the supposed authority figures in her life betray this wonderful rebel. And he's going to die, but she goes and saves him somehow. So, how does the movie end? Well, the movie ends, she's been telling the story on the way to the Titanic and telling it to the cast of the people who are going to raise the Titanic or something. And at the end of the movie, you see he jumps off the back of the boat. She dies. She's quite elderly. She has nothing else to live for. She dies. As she floats down into the water, we see, oh, she's young again. And what's happening to her? Oh, she's going down into the Titanic, but it's whole again. And there's everybody that she knew from the Titanic, the captain and the stewards, and they've all been waiting for her. And there's her rebel boyfriend. They get to spend eternity together as ghosts. Now, when I saw that ending, after having suffered through this movie, to know what it's all about, is sometimes I want to know, what is the point of this movie? I must not only exegete scripture, I must exegete the culture. But what is the point of this movie? The point of this movie is, this rebel and his rebellious girlfriend did not need God to live forever. That without God, they could find happiness and peace and joy in an everlasting party down on the bottom of the ocean. That you don't need God to have a resurrection. That you don't need God to have fellowship for the rest of eternity. Of course, this is all hogwash, but let me point out to you that in a desert, you do not compose poems to sand. You compose poems to water. These movies were written by people who are terrified of death. And they are meant to attract people who are terrified of death. This topic could not sell tickets if nobody was interested. The theme of that movie would not have sold 5 billion copies or whatever it was, made Celine Dion's career, if people did not feel that tug, I want to have my fiance forever, I want to have my children forever, I want to have my boyfriend or my husband or my wife forever. You have to understand that the more mechanized we become, the more spiritually hungry we become. I was at a hospital some years ago now, actually in a rest home, and the person we were with passed away. And we walked out of the room, and one of the people I was with said, oh, listen, on the television, there was a bell ringing. I didn't hear it, but she heard it. And so she called immediately on her cell phone to say, Grandma just spoke to us. So here we are in this mechanized society, listening to people talk to us on cell phones and listening to people talk to us through ringing bells or through seances or through the spirit guides, the aliens who want to talk to us and help us, or the dead departed Indians and Scottish warlords who want to talk to us, and guide us, help us live our lives well. We are not becoming less spiritual, we're becoming more spiritual, because life without God is a barren desert. You understand that if you deny that there is a God, then you have no Savior to pay for your sin. Your sin will always be bad, and it'll always be there. It'll never be dealt with. You cannot deny God and have a Savior. You cannot deny a Savior and be clean. If you deny that there is a God, then there is no judge to declare you innocent. There is no judge to declare monsters evil. Hitler and Mao got away with it. If there is no God, then you have no Lord. And all of the decisions are yours. You are responsible for everything that's ever happened. No one will ever see you through it or help you through it. If there is no God, then there is no Bible. There is no revelation. There are no principles to follow. There is no supernatural insight into human issues. And there certainly is no reason for self-sacrifice. If you deny that there is a God, then there is no potter. And you were not designed for any purpose. Of course, if there is a God, and he is the potter, and I am the clay, then each of us were designed for a purpose with a mission that will fulfill our lives. If you deny that there is a God, then there is no heavenly friend. Everything is just luck. I'm either lucky to be pretty or I'm unlucky to be homely. I'm either lucky to be an American or I'm unlucky to be an East Indian. I'm either lucky to be born into a wealthy family or I'm unlucky to be born in the slums. If God is not there, and if he is not with us, not offering us friendship, then all it is luck. If there is no God, then age is not a blessing as we draw near to him. It is only a curse as we understand that our time is about up. A society that preaches the good news of lawlessness will end up with lots of harm being done by wicked people. For example, harvesting baby parts. Oh, that's right. We're doing that in America. And the people who have been doing it are not under indictment. The world offers a gospel of loneliness. No God to walk with them or hear them or speak to them through the Bible or in their hearts. A gospel of ignorance because they can't know anything for sure. They can only know things through science, and they change science every 10 years. If our society preaches a gospel of appetites, not self-denial for a great purpose, our society preaches a gospel of rebellion, where there's no safety, no love, no joy, and no peace. You understand that rebellion cannot build anything. That the politicians in our society who are rebels against the Constitution and are rebels against the status quo have nothing to offer because you cannot build upon rebellion. Robespierre was a famous rebel, and he was part of the French Revolution. Cut off their heads! Cut off their heads! Well, what happens when you cut off enough heads? It's time for you. And Robespierre had his head cut off by the same machine, the guillotine. You must have something to build on, to build a life. Well, here's something for us to build on. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of the street and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it. And his servants shall serve him. We shall see his face, and our name shall be on our foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Revelation chapter 22, verse 1 through 5. Our good news is that all of the promises of God shall be kept. The holy city is when God will fully complete and fully finish every promise he has ever met. God promised Adam, I will get you back to me. Kept. He promised Noah, I will show you grace. Kept. He promised Abraham, I will bless you. Kept. He promised Moses, I will help you become holy. Kept. And I will do it all through the Son of David, Jesus. Kept. I will write my laws in your heart, and I'll write my laws on your mind. Kept. The holy city is when he fully completes and keeps every single promise of the Bible. Remember that Abraham, God promised, I will give you this land. Remember that the only particle of land that Abraham got was a burial plot. All he got, because he didn't want the physical land. He wanted the holy city. Hebrews 11 tells us. And so in the holy city, who will be there? All of Abraham's descendants and all of the people who accepted the gospel of Abraham's descendants. Everyone there, most of the folk there will owe their salvation to Abraham. God said to Phinehas, you will never lack a man to stand before me because you were loyal to me. But Israel was destroyed. Israel is scattered. The temple is no more. But in the holy city, every promise is kept. We have a Bible that comes to us from God that we can build our lives on. We have a family of committed people with committed marriages and committed relationships. We are part of the family of God, bound for the city of God, expecting to meet an innumerable company of angels. We are members of the assembly and the church of the firstborn. Our names are registered in heaven. We are defended by God, the judge of all, one with the spirits of just men made perfect, friends of Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and members of the kingdom that cannot be shaken. Hebrews tells us so. We have a personal God who cares for us and watches over us. That is our good news. We are, as Paul said, sometimes lonely, but never alone. Sometimes depressed, but never defeated. Despite our problems, we have fun without drugs, can you believe it? We enjoy life without going 85 and a 45. We have a destination, and it is not the grave. We have a confidence, and it is not our money. We have joy, but it is not bound by our good luck. We have peace, but it is not bound by our circumstances. You and I are eternal spirits. An eternal God made us in his image for eternal fellowship. This is our good news. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this message from your word. As your word wraps up all of the rest of your word, you wanted to end your Bible with this promise of being with you and seeing you and being able to fellowship with you completely and forever. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for walking with us and walking in us. Heavenly Father, if there be one listening on the radio or here who has never said, forgive me for my sin, come into my heart and wash me clean, Heavenly Father, help them to understand the simple offer of grace and friendship and childhood. But Heavenly Father, as we sing our final song, accept our worship as we declare your goodness to each other and to the world. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.